Jim Harris of the Green Party of Canada. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
Why were you not the fifth leader in the national debates that were held at the beginning of last week?
Well, we can't think of any good reason at all. That's a great question. I mean, we're presenting four times as many candidates as the Bloc. We're at 6% in the polls, which is the same level that the NDP was at when they elected nine MPs in 1993. We're running in every single riding in Canada, all 308. 76% of Canadians believe we should be included in those debates, including a majority who've decided to vote for other parties. And, you know, if you look at it, we don't think that five TV executives meeting in secret should be able to dictate to Canadians what our democracy is going to look like and sound like. And when you consider that in 1993, the Bloc was included when they'd never elected an MP under their banner and then won 54 seats, or when you consider in 88, Reform Party won no seats and less than half the votes that we did, but in the following election, when Preston Manning was included, they won 52 seats. You can see the incredible power that being included in the debates has on the results that a party gets.
Things change quickly. The statistics from the conference on climate change that was held in Montreal at the beginning of last week show that Canada, well, hasn't done a very good job so far. We will have had to reduce our greenhouse gases by 6% between the years 1990 and 2012. And so far, we've increased them by 25%. We have a Conservative Party leader who doesn't even agree with Kyoto. What's the Green Party's reaction to all that?
Well, we are critical of both the Liberal and the Conservative positions, because the Conservatives say they'd rip up Kyoto, the Liberals say they support it, but in fact their support has been anything but support, because of it has risen by 24.4% CO2 emissions. And so what we really need to do is look at the programs that we're presenting. We're presenting actual solutions which will save Canadians money, create jobs, and actually preserve our climate. Take, for instance, taxis. There are 25,000 taxis in Canada. If each of those taxis was a hybrid, like the Toyota Prius that I drive, you know, we would be reducing by 350 million liters a year the gasoline used by the tiny little taxi industry. It would save the industry $5 billion over a decade. And, you know, we were told by Mr. Martin that Kyoto would cost us $10 billion. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, because here's one tiny little industry that all on its own is going to save $5 billion. And remember, we have a problem with smog in our cities, because taxis, smog is caused by traffic jams, idling vehicles, and coal-fired generation and other industrial activity, but those are the two main ones. And reducing hybrids reduce smog emissions by up to 90%. Because they turn off the gas engine when it's not needed. And so by changing 25,000 taxis, it would be like changing 250,000 cars on Canadian roads, and these cars would be idling all day in our cities. So today, one in every five children has childhood asthma. When you look to 30 years ago, it was less than one in 50. And you know why this dramatic rise? Well, it's simple. 4.3 billion kilograms of respiratory toxins put in our air every single year. Every single year. And so why are we using our children as the canaries in the coal mine to tell us we have to change? You know, are we going to wait until every other child can't breathe properly before we do something about it? And so the Green Party is saying enough is enough. It's time to clear the air.
Why has the Canadian government subsidized oil and gas companies to the tune of $40 billion over the last 30 years?
That's a great question, and I have no good answer for that. We asked the same question, and when you look at last year, the Liberals gave $1.4 billion to oil and gas interests, and this is at a time that they were making the highest profit in their existence. So we don't consider it a responsible use of taxpayers' money. And when you actually consider that our total national debt is about $500 billion, almost 10% of that has come from subsidizing oil and gas companies. So it's not a responsible use of our finance. And does that mean that the Green Party is more fiscally responsible than the Liberals? Yes. Does it mean that we're more fiscally responsible than the Conservatives? Yes, because the Conservatives, being Alberta-based, would continue those subsidies. So, you know, we look at the fact that 1.2 million children live in poverty in Canada. They are poor. They need our help. Why are we subsidizing oil and gas companies?
Canada is primarily seen, I think, worldwide and by the major political parties as a primary resource economy. How does the Green Party feel about that?
Well, it means that we are at risk. You know, we export raw logs to the United States and then re-import furniture and paper and all sorts of other things. And we should be adding more economic value to all our exports rather than re-importing them as finished goods. And so the way to create a secure future for us in Canada is to add more value, to be more energy efficient. And in fact, when you look at energy efficiency, we're the most energy inefficient economy globally.
So it's actually not our strength to be a primary resource economy.
No. In fact, if you look at Japan, Japan is widely viewed as one of the industrial powers globally, but it has no natural resources. It relies on 100% import of almost all its natural resources. So, in fact, natural resources aren't the strength. It's the value adding that's the strength. And so we need to move from a natural resource-based economy to a knowledge-based or innovation-based economy. And when you look at that, education is the driver. So why are our students graduating with the highest debt loads in the history of Canada? Why have we consistently seen cuts to education? Because the federal government has cut to the provinces, the provinces have cut education budgets, and students are graduating as a result with the highest debt loads ever. It's back to this question about investing in the wrong things. We shouldn't be subsidizing oil and gas companies. We should be investing in education.
It seems to be then a misconception to associate the Green Party uniquely with the issue of the environment. You've been talking about health in this conversation. And I know that the Green Party makes a distinction between health and health care. What is that distinction?
Well, while all the other parties argue about how much more money they'll spend on the health care system, which, by the way, we think is a good thing, like Martha Stewart says, that's a good thing. We're the only party talking about health itself. And so my father died of cancer. My mother-in-law is currently fighting her second cancer in 5 years. And we all know somebody who's died of cancer, who is currently fighting cancer, or, thankfully, somebody who's lived through it. And the bad news is that cancers are going to double here in Canada over the next 30 years, according to cancer societies. Some 6 million Canadians are going to get cancer, and some 3 million are going to die of it. And the Green Party is the only party saying, wouldn't it be better to stop us getting cancer in the first place, rather than to argue over how much more money to spend once we have it to treat it? Because 50% of cancers are preventable. And so we have to have an aggressive focus on prevention, and it's not just cancer. 50% of cancers are preventable, 70% of strokes, 80% of diabetes, 80% of heart disease. If we don't, in fact, focus aggressively on prevention, we're not going to be able to spend our way out of the healthcare crisis that we face.
The Green Party also seems to have an international perspective. What could you say specifically about Canada's foreign policy?
Well, in terms of our foreign policy, we would redirect our military exclusively to peacemaking, peacekeeping efforts. Canadians are proud of the international reputation we have as peacemakers, peacekeepers, internationally, globally. And we would focus our military exclusively on that role.
Does Canada have actually a peaceful role now? Is it playing a peaceful role in a place like Haiti?
In fact, Canada's record in Haiti is not one that I'm very proud of at all. And the Haitian community here in Canada is absolutely appalled at the part that we have played in the supporting an overthrow of an elected government, and the imprisonment and the lack of democracy in that country. And so I'm ashamed of that.
How can the U.S. Be handled? How would it be handled by the Green Party?
Well, I think it's first off the actual terms of the question, who handles the U.S.? I think we have to look at the U.S. as a neighbor, you know, a neighbor who is someone who we are friendly towards, but we don't necessarily agree with or follow their lifestyle. And we need to assert how Canada is independent in its foreign policy. We've seen Mr. Bush take a unilateralist approach both to foreign affairs and the invasion and bombing of Iraq. We've seen an interventionist approach or a unilateralist approach to trade agreements such as free trade and NAFTA. And we note that free trade is neither free nor is it trade. It's cost the beef industry over $7 billion. It's cost the softwood lumber industry over $5 billion. It's clearly not free, and it's not trade. And so if a partner does not respect bilateral, multilateral agreements that it has entered into, why should we enter into any more agreements with that partner, given that it won't honor the ones it's already agreed to?
It's interesting. Noam Chomsky has used exactly the same terms regarding free trade. It's neither free nor is it trade. But I wonder where the Green Party positions itself in relation to the left or the right.
Well, the Green Party is neither left nor right, but we're out in front. Parties on the right have historically said it's capital or capitalists that create more value in our society, so capitalists deserve a bigger share of the pie, and I understand that argument. Whereas parties on the left have said, no, it's workers who create a bigger share of wealth in our society. Workers deserve a bigger share of the pie, and I understand that argument. What we're saying is the pie is making us sick. We need a new pie. And left and right argue over how to divide the GNP or the GDP. What we're saying is the GDP makes us sick. For instance, when the Exxon Valdez spills its oil on the coast of Alaska, if you talk to any economist, they'll tell you that GDP growth is good. And in fact, GDP grows when the Exxon Valdez spills its oil because $2 billion is spent on cleanup. The fact that cancers in Canada are going to double over the next 30 years is great because healthcare expenditures will go up. The fact that Mr. Bush has bombed Iraq and killed 100,000 innocent women, children, and men, civilians, is fantastic because military expenditure reaches new all-time highs. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that none of those things are in fact good. And so are we measuring wealth or are we measuring ill? If the more GDP growth we have, are the incidence of childhood asthma increased from one in every five children to one in every four or one in every three children? Is that wealth or is that ill? What are we measuring? And the Green Party talks about having genuine progress indicators that measure the health of people, the health of communities, the health of our economy, the health of ecosystems, the health of the entire planet. And we can't have an ever-rising GNP if we have an ever-plummeting GPI.
Often people who familiarize themselves with your platform, for example, the water cleanup projects, realize that that's what they want from a government. So although it's true that the Green Party's vote has increased in the last elections, why hasn't it become an even higher chunk of the vote?
Well, first off, let's look at the election in 2000. The Green Party won 100,000 votes. Right now, we're on track to win 800,000 votes. No other party in the last 5 years has increased its vote eightfold. So we're on a stunning exponential growth curve here. Secondly, to say, if we look around the world, the Green Party is organized in over 70 countries, and we've elected people to national assemblies in over 30. And we formed government in 15 nations over the last 25 years. And so we might say, well, what's slowed the growth of the Greens here in Canada? We're at the same level of support, in fact, that other Green parties are around the world. It's just almost every single Western democracy has a form of proportional representation. And Canada is the world laggard in terms of fair electoral system. Even the United Kingdom elects people using proportional representation. In Scotland, in Wales, for the European parliamentary elections, Ireland, there are Greens. And so everywhere around the world, Western democracies, developed nations are using proportional representation. And that is, in fact, what is the barrier.
That was also something that I believe the NDP was going to do something about.
Oh, well, yes, I heard promises from Mr. Layton that the only condition for supporting a Liberal government would be the first thing would be proportional representation. And, of course, Mr. Layton picked short-term goals over the long-term systemic change that would guarantee democracy in Canada.
Jim Harris, I know you're a busy man. Thank you for joining us today.
It's been a real pleasure. And
good luck.
Thanks so much.
You have been listening to Jim Harris, the leader of the Green Party of Canada.